We come to the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, I've preached on this before, 18 months ago, in fact, here in St. David's, and some of the things I'll be saying now will be overlapping with that and some things new from this parable. But it starts when Jesus is posed with an insincere question from a religious leader. But nevertheless, it leads on to a good discussion about love, and then the parable of the Good Samaritan itself. Now, we all want love, don't we? It's the theme of a great deal of music, folk music, classical music, and old-fashioned pop music. I'm not sure whether or not it's the theme of pop music. I'm not even sure whether I should use the term pop music these days. But it is the theme of a great deal of music. We like to sing about it. We know that love is the answer to the world's problems. We know what hate does to mankind. All you need is love is what the Beatles sang. We long for it in our own lives. But it's easier to sing about it, isn't it, than to be filled with love. 2,000 years ago, the Jewish religious teachers knew from their scriptures, our Old Testament, that love summed up God's will for us all. But were they practicing it? Now, we know about it too. Are we practicing it? Are we filled with love? One of them, a scribe, came to Jesus and asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, Luke tells us it was an insincere question. He was really trying to expose what he thought would be the ignorance of Jesus. But let's consider the question itself first, especially that word inherit. What must I do to inherit eternal life? How do you inherit anything? You don't inherit anything by earning it, do you? You inherit something because you're the son or daughter or relative of someone. In other words, you inherit something because of the relationship you have with someone, not because you have earned it. Now, how do we inherit eternal life? We cannot earn eternal life as a worker earns wages. We inherit eternal life by having that relationship with God as a child, a son or daughter of God, by accepting his son Christ into our lives so that we with him might be God's children and therefore inherit eternal life. Anyway, Jesus turns the question back to the scribe. He says, "What do you read in the Word of God? What do you read in the Old Testament?" And the scribe answers, "Well, I read in the Old Testament that we should love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength." And that's right, of course. I was reading what William Temple, you've heard of him perhaps, he was the Archbishop of Canterbury before the war, maybe during the war as well. He spoke about worship as meaning to inspire our love. He said, "Worship is to quicken our conscience by the holiness of God, to feed our minds with the truth of God, to purge our imaginations with the beauty of God, to open our hearts to the love of God, and to devote our wills to the purposes of God." Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. This sums up the requirements of the law. And that's how the scribe answers Jesus. And Jesus says, "You're right." But the man, the scribe, wanting to justify himself, asked Jesus the question, "But who is my neighbor whom I should love?" Now, he implied by asking that question that he didn't need to love everyone. So he says, "Who should I love?" Implying I don't need to love everyone, so who should it be that I love? Maybe I don't have to love foreigners. Although that passage read from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy 10, earlier in the service, says that we should love the foreigners. So even the Old Testament told the Jews that they must love the foreigner. But the scribe is saying, in attempting to justify himself, do I really have to love all people? Isn't just loving my own tribe or nation enough? I wonder if you and I ever try to justify ourselves by making excuses for not doing what we ought. Actually, we cannot justify ourselves before God. Only He can justify us. How does He do that? Well, we come back to that in a minute. But the scribe is really wanting to say, charity begins at home, and I don't need to be kind to foreigners. And the response of Jesus is the story of the Good Samaritan, because a Samaritan, of course, was a foreigner. And Jesus tells the story of a fellow Jew going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he's attacked by common criminals and badly wounded. A fellow Jew, a priest, walks by and does nothing. Another fellow Jew, a Levite, walks by, and they both leave their fellow countrymen wounded by the roadside. Now, I was just reading this week of a lady in New York City. This is very recently. While shopping in Fifth Avenue in busy Manhattan, she tripped and broke her leg. Dazed and anguished and in shock, she called out for help, not for 2 minutes, not for 20 minutes, but for 40 minutes, as shoppers and business executives, students and merchants walked around her and stepped over her, completely ignoring her. After literally hundreds had passed by, a taxi driver finally pulled over, pulled her into his taxi, and took her to a local hospital. And just a few weeks ago, Bernard Levin, writing in the Times, was writing of an incident which he had heard of in the news at King's Cross Station in London, where a man, just a few weeks ago, was asked, he had bought a hamburger at a hamburger stall. He was asked by someone to give him the hamburger. He said he didn't want to. The man and his friends then attacked him, beat him, kicked him, left him bleeding. And during that time, the hundreds of ordinary people like you and me were passing by on King's Cross Station, and not one person came to his aid. The priest and the Levite didn't come to his aid, and the people in Manhattan and King's Cross Station didn't come to his aid. But a Samaritan from Samaria, a foreigner from the rival group, helped him. He might well have suffered much criticism, you know, that Samaritan. That Samaritan was putting himself in danger because he was helping a Jew. So his fellow Samaritans might easily have said to him, why are you helping a Jew, our enemies? Anyway, he binds up the Jew's wounds and pays the innkeeper. You know the story. And so the answer to the question, who is my neighbor, is this. Charity doesn't just stop with my own people. The neighbor whom you should love includes those who belong even to that group of people who don't like you. I was listening on the radio again today to that tragedy, about the tragedy in Rwanda and Burundi, just before I came out to this service this morning. You know, where the Tutsis and the Hutus have been at war with one another for decades, and there's been this mass slaughter. You'll remember 1 million were killed a year or two ago, and there's further danger of it all happening it all again, the Tutsis versus the Hutu. Now imagine a wounded Tutsi helped by a Hutu, or the other way round. That is what happened in the story of the Good Samaritan. And in this story, Jesus makes the Samaritan the hero. And yet Jesus himself was a Jew. And for that reason, had just in the previous chapter we read, been rather badly treated by Samaritans. Jesus, only the day before, had been badly treated by Samaritans, and here Jesus is telling a story, making the Samaritan the hero of the story. It would be like a Tutsi telling a story to his fellow Tutsis and making a Hutu the hero who helps a wounded Tutsi. Now, the tragedy of the world today is that it's drained of love. There are cracks appearing more and more between one group of people and another, between black and white. And within a black tribe, there are cracks between one black tribe and another black tribe. And within the white tribes, there's a splits between one white tribe and another white tribe. That's what's been happening in Yugoslavia. And then within one tribe, you've got one family against another. And then in a family, you've got husband against wife, or children against parents, and brother against brother. Most of us know something about this somewhere in our experience. Now, it takes courage to reach across the gaps and the cracks to help someone in the rival family, tribe, or race. The Good Samaritan reached across the crack to help the Jew. Now, this concerns all of us, because cracks are not just between one human being and another. Within each human being, there is a break. There can be a war within our own hearts. I wonder how many of us here this morning sometimes feel a war within ourselves. We know that we ought to do good and we want to do good, but we find another part of ourselves is doing bad. The good that I would do, I do not, the Apostle Paul said. There's a conflict and a lack of peace even in one person. But the biggest gap of all is the gap between human beings and God, because we have gone our own way and our sins have separated us. And it's that gap that has to be bridged if the others are to be healed. Now, everyone in the world knows that there is a God. I believe that. That's why there's so much religion in the world. But people do not know him, God. And so much religion in the world is man-made. And some religion that we make up ourselves can actually be harmful. The danger is, you see, that we human beings make up our own religion, then say that we've received it from God when we didn't really, we just made it up ourselves, and then we use it to do what? To justify ourselves, as if we ourselves could cross the gap from earth to heaven by our own religious efforts. But we cannot lift ourselves across the gap and get back to God. Attempts to do that lead to all the harmful religion that actually increases the hatred sometimes, not always, but sometimes in the world. So how is the gap bridged? The only way for the gap to be bridged is for God to come across the gap from heaven to earth, so that we can come face to face with him. If you're to be reconciled to someone, at peace with someone with whom you've quarreled, you must come face to face with them. You can't remain at a distance from them. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God has humbled himself and in the person of Christ stooped to our level so that we could meet him face to face. To face. Jesus is God come face to face with the human race so that we might know what he is really like and be reconciled to him. It's not messengers we need. It's not new religions we need. It's not new religious ideas we need. We need simply to accept that God has come to us from heaven to earth so that he might carry us from earth to heaven. So really, Jesus was the Good Samaritan, crossing from heaven to earth, reaching across that great gulf. But the crack, you know, goes even deeper, because the Lord, who had come from heaven to earth, deliberately allowed us to break him. And in doing so, he carried all our sins away in his body. It was as if Jesus' body was broken and cracked for our sake, and his blood shed. So as well as Jesus being the real Good Samaritan, he was also the wounded Jew. He was both the Good Samaritan, coming from heaven to earth, and the wounded Jew dying on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was the religious establishment who crucified him, wasn't it? That proves to us that not all religion is good. It was the religious leaders who crucified him. And some of the worst hatred in the world is done by those that are propagating their own man-made religion and trying to justify themselves before God. But I'm afraid they're preparing their souls not for heaven, but for somewhere else. Because we cannot justify ourselves before God. He justifies us in his love and mercy. And we, for us, is to say, Lord, I cannot justify myself before you. I simply look to you to justify me, for Christ died for my sins, reaching across that great gap from heaven to where I am in all the things I've done wrong, so that you might forgive me and take me back to be with you forever. And when we do that, we experience a love for God, for others, and for the whole world, which we've never experienced before. May that be true for all of us here today. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that though we cannot justify ourselves, for we're all poor in spirit, nevertheless, in your great love, you have reached across that gap from heaven to earth to take us back to you, the Lord and God of all. And so, in our need and in our anxieties, we lift up our heart to receive your eternal grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.